Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You know the music we've played, the news we've reported, and the decades of community service that put 96.3 WHUR FM radio on the map and in the hearts of the D.C. Metro. But what you probably don't know is the man who has steered the ship for decades. In good times and bad, the general manager, the boss. Well, tonight, you will hear from Millard J. Watkins III, Jim, as we call him. We're saluting him as he retires after some 33 years at the helm and 40 years here at Howard University. The lines are open. Give us a call if you like it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. I have to correct you.
What's that?
47 years at Howard University.
So you were here in the very, very beginning.
I was the chief engineer that launched the station.
And you don't look a day over 50.
Well, thank you. I need to give you a raise.
Well, there's always that. Well, let's talk about the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
A dollar really brought WHUR to Howard University. How did that work?
Well, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, had a rule at the time that you could not own a radio station, a television station, a newspaper in the same marketplace. And so Katharine Graham had to divest herself of one of the stations, and she divested herself with WTOP-FM. 96.3, and she donated it to the university. Dr. James Cheek was the president at the time, and they exchanged a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And on December the 10th, 1971, 6 o'clock p.m., we went on the air.
What were you doing? What was the role that you were playing at that time?
I was the person that had to wire the equipment and put together the studio so that we could actually send a signal to the transmitter that was on 40th and Brandywine Street.
Mm-hmm. You remember the first song?
Shaft. Isaac Hayes.
Isaac Hayes. Yeah.
That's a song we've used for every launch of everything that we've done here at the station ever since. A little nostalgia.
It is nostalgic and really appropriate. But you were the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You were the engineer, but you didn't start your career here. You started much earlier in life, before you were even legally able to drive.
Yeah, I decided at 10 years old I wanted to build radio and television stations. Don't ask me why, but that's what I wanted to do. The very first job I ever got was at a station, WENZ, 1450 in Highland Springs, Virginia, right outside of Richmond. Mm-hmm. So that's where I started my broadcast career.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I left, when I graduated from high school, I went to Grantham School of Engineering. I was working on my associate's degree on electrical engineering, and I was notified that there were summer jobs over at the news bureau, the Washington News Bureau of ABC News. So I applied for that job, and I became the first African-American engineer at the Washington News Bureau at ABC here in Washington, D.C.
So how did you come to Howard?
This is a funny story. So I'm on Capitol Hill. I've set up microphones to record a congressional hearing. And two congressmen are talking about the fact that Howard University is getting a radio station. They had read it in the newspaper. And they made some kind of off-color joke. And that afternoon, I came up to Howard and met with Phil Watson, who was the general manager. And I said, look, I'll build your radio station for you for free.
You know? Wow.
And he's
how about that? For free. I'll build it for free. Yeah.
So what happened was that he ended up volunteering my time. So I was volunteering for about 3-4 months. And the next thing you know, Phil says, look, you need to be the chief engineer. And you have to go through these consultants that we have. And they're going to ask you questions and stuff and interview you. And we did that. And that was it.
We're talking to Jim Watkins, the general manager of WHUR-FM, actually the Howard University Radio Network, to be totally accurate. He's retiring after 47 years here at Howard University, and it really is, you know, such an emotional thing for all of us, not just here at the staff, but at the university, because you really helped put a musical stamp on Washington. It was, we're talking about 360 degrees of blackness. I remember growing up here listening to progressive jazz. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the thing that really, really, touched me as a kid. I listened to WHUR. Now we're at Sounds Like Washington. Talk to me about that, the musical transition over the years.
It's interesting because when we first went on the air as a 360 degree total black experience, it was kind of a mixture of what Pacifica Radio used to do as far as community affairs and stuff like that. We had more community affairs and news programs on the air than anyone. And it was basically a jazz-based station. So one of the things that's happened over the years is we've kind of changed things to kind of keep up with the times. So we went from that traditional jazz to a little more contemporary jazz and just kind of becoming that musical stage for what's going on in the industry. Mm.
You also have been very, very supportive of the news department, specifically the Daily Drum. I started here in 1987 as a field reporter.
Right.
Left and went into television, and you were gracious enough to bring me back. It's interesting. You hired me in 1987, and then you hired me in 2008, some 30 years or so.
Yeah.
After I started here, why news when so many other black owned media outlets have really stopped doing news and information?
Let's see if I can explain this. One of the things that I learned when I worked for ABC, which was a news organization, is how news is put together and how it's flavored. And certain perspectives that are there. And I just thought it was really important, especially with the years going on, that people listen to news and information from people that look like them. Just really, really important. You could sit in a hearing and listen to an entire hearing on a particular subject. You go back to the studio, you edit down a 60-second sound bite, and that's all the public gets. So when I came to HUR with the emphasis on news, you know, we did in-depth. Daily Drum was 2 hours long.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, there was a transition period with the radio station where we weren't making any money at all. Mm-hmm. None. And we had to get to a point where we had to become self-sustaining. So when you start doing that, the things that you have to do. That's why when we looked at overall ratings, you know, we couldn't do a four-hour session for news. So you start to shorten it. And we got to a point here where we had to shorten it to about a half hour. But then when we did the Sirius XM thing, we could make it another hour and do anything we really wanted to do.
Why is community service so important to you, to this station? I will say in all of my travels when I was particularly in television, we did community service, but we didn't do it like WHUR. It's time consuming. Mm-hmm. It is energy consuming
and an investment.
Yeah, it really is. So why such an emphasis on community service for this radio station?
It's just really part of the DNA of the station, and to be owned by Howard University, which is about truth and service, right. It just dovetails itself well. And, you know, I as general manager never had to defend the news department. Everyone got it, you know, that this was a forum where we could take any kind of issue and talk about it from our perspective. And there were no repercussions from it. So that makes it really easy.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we are saluting Jim Watkins, the boss, the general manager of WHUR. He is retiring after decades of service here at the helm of this great radio station and the Howard University Radio Network. If you have a question, if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. When you come into the building, there is a case of trophies. I would argue that if you took one, you would know which one was taken, even though there was even though there were so many of them. You've always been big on recognition by peers. Talk to me about that.
Well, that's an interesting one. It's recognition of successes. You should never forget those little successes that you have. And we have a great team of people here, you know, and each one of you have given certain contributions to the station and its livelihood, and it's always good to recognize that.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Judith, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Judith. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jim Watts. This is Judith Howell, Relate.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I remember that show.
And you came in on the field. I remember how you came in. And the fact that you were willing to volunteer, people were whispering, huh, what, he going to build a station? What? But I want to say to you, man, that what you have done with your vision is given Howard University the only kind of radio station it could have had. It had to have the community involvement, and it's been echoed now in the programs of the university. It had to have the news. It had to have programs that reached out and spoke volumes about the areas in which our people were excelling. And you did that. Yeah, sometimes, you know, things had to fall. Sports had to fall. There isn't an entertainment critic on there now. But you cover the waterfront. And even though all of the technologies that you brought to the station didn't, particularly all of them didn't survive, enough of them had survived that it broadened the reach and the ability for alumni to continue to listen to the station from wherever they are. I know people that listen to you from New Zealand, brother. So,
Well, Judith, thank you so much for giving us a call and helping us to salute Jim. You want to make a quick comment, Jim?
Yeah, it's really interesting. The things that we've done over the years, I didn't do. It was the team that did it.
But this was your vision, though. I mean, don't be humble now. I was here before, and this was your vision. It was, you know, it was like, you know, Yul Brynner, and you know, so it shall be written, so it shall be done.
I never really thought of it that way.
We always did.
The main thing is to have fun, and we always have had fun doing the kind of things that we do. Being in broadcasting is a real honor.
Yeah,
you know, it really is, and you get to do things that other people don't get to do.
I want to play something for you real quick before we go to a break. Let's hear something from some folks I think you know.
I will never forget this memorable moment. I wanted to go back into television and told you, Jim, hey, I want to do it at NBC4. I have this opportunity. And you gave me your blessing. You said, go spread your wings. But remember one thing. You always have a home at WHUR. And I have felt that from you for the last 4.5, 5 years. And so I thank you for giving me my wings, but also letting me come back home.
Hi, this is Tresina Gray. When I say Jim Watkins, what instantly comes to mind? He's an innovator. He is proactive. He's about his business. He's about making things happen. And he has compassion. And he has good insight on people and situations. One of the things I admire about Jim is his humility. He really is a child prodigy. He was born to do what he does. But you know what? You're cool. You're down to earth. You can be crazy sometimes with your sense of humor, too. Anyway, much love to you. God bless you, your lovely wife, Phyllis, and your beautiful family. And, you know, we're your extended family, too. So you can't get rid of us.
Don't play.
You may be leaving WHUR, but we're still connected, okay? God bless you.
Hi, it's Lorna Newton from 96.3 WHUR, WHUR World, and HUR Voices on SiriusXM. You know, we've got a special man who's retiring on us. We're talking about Jim Watkins. And the first thing that comes to mind when I think of this man is integrity. I have never worked for a boss like that who's been there for you every step of the way. Oh, I'm not saying he's easygoing. He's kind of hard on you, too. But integrity is the first thing I think of. And my funniest memory, well, I know the man really cares about the radio stations, and I learned it the hard way, because while I was on the air, just kind of telling about things that were going on, and there was a convention going on in Vegas. It was the, you know, the electronic show where all the new gear and what I call toys come out, and I referred to him being out there at the toy convention. Well, when he came back from his time at the radio convention, he let me know he heard that. So he's listening all the time. I don't know if there's advice that I can give him, but I do want to say thank you to him for his dedication to this radio station for such a long time. And I also want to thank Phyllis, his wife, for giving us Jim for all these years. Don't worry, I still have your email address. I'll stay in touch. And thank you, Jim, for everything you've done for WHUR.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls and more with the retiring general manager of WHUR, Jim Watkins. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are saluting our boss, the general manager of WHUR, Millard James Watkins III, Jim, as we call him. We salute him as he retires after 47 years at Howard University. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Roy, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Roy. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, how you doing?
I'm doing
you
just
know,
fine.
You know, I don't know whose idea it was to bring Jim on, if it was yours, but Jim is the type of guy that we never get to know. You know, we know all these celebrities and all these, you know, these big-name guys, but what, you know, just listening, you know, I didn't know him, but what he's done and accomplished, man, that's huge for us. So, you know, and my question is he going to write a book?
Oh, well, there you go. How about that? Are you going to write a book? You need help?
Well, the first thing I've done is I've resurrected my communications consulting firm, Wendy O Communications Limited, Liability Corporation, and we do everything in the business. And I've been thinking about doing that, but right now I've got so many different ideas I want to get that I wasn't able to do here that I want to kind of implement.
Like what?
I can't tell you what.
Oh, come on,
stuff.
Tell me something.
But give me a scoop. The point is, well, one thing I will tell you is that we're going to be doing a lot of content creation, because that's really what we need, is different content on all levels. But the point I'm making is that I'm only retiring from WHUR. I'm actually rewiring to my new thing.
So is this rewiring more like copper cable, or is it like Fios? How would you just
like
it?
It's like Fios.
Roy, thank you so much. But you know, to Roy's point, why didn't you allow more people to know where you are? It's not like you weren't hiding, but you don't do a lot of interviews.
No.
You were seen more, obviously, here and at trade shows, at our peer-to-peer professional organizations, and, of course, on the Hill. And when I say on the Hill, I'm talking about Howard University.
Sure.
Why not let more people know more about you?
Well, basically, I guess it's the engineer in me. Engineers have always been behind the scenes, and they make things happen. And so it's very natural to be able to sit back and work on something and watch it come together. You can critique it. I would go to promotions and not introduce myself, which was fine, but I could come back and critique what we did and how we can make it better. You know, you don't always have to be up front. You know, being behind the scenes and making things happen is where I felt the most comfortable.
And I wanted to mention before the break, we were hearing from Amalette Green, who is, she's still part of the WHUR mm-hmm. family, but she is a reporter for WRC-TV, the NBC affiliate here. Also, of course, our own Tracina Gray at Middays and Lorna Newton. Lorna's been here for many, many, many years as an announcer. But one of the things that kind of comes to mind is, and they kept talking about family, and you would always say, whenever we had personal crises, you would always say family first, and you really meant it. But so many other businesses may say it but not mean it. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's kind of simple. I mean, I had the opportunity to build a team to fulfill a mission. And when you have a team, you get to know the folks in the team. And when you get the trust of your team, you tend to be sympathetic, empathetic, if that's the word. And, you know, it's a good team becomes a family. So, I mean, from the time I've been general manager, I've lost count of how many children have been born during my administration and watched them grow up and go to college, and now they are professionals. And, you know, the thing is that in many operations now, there is not that sense of team. You know, you don't stay for a long period of time. No one gets to know anyone. It becomes very cold. And I just didn't come out of that kind of environment. And I just wanted to work in a place where you had that kind of environment, because I always felt that that would make you drop your guard a little bit and be more creative and do things you never could do before.
Let's talk to Donnie, calling from D.C. Donnie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, Jim, I'm sitting out in my car listening to this. Now I just figured out one of these engineer tips on how I can listen to you on satellite radio in a 1998 Mazda MPV with no satellite radio.
Okay, that's great.
You have taken care of the kids at the YMCA for over half your career. And I'm representing our president, Angie Reese Hawkins, who is a pea in the pot like you, a first. I'm representing the Y on her behalf, that you have been, you and your team, because you are a team talker, you and your team have done wonders for children throughout the DMV. New toys, new coats, food. May I go on, but I don't want to take up a lot of time. Jim, you know I love you, and I'll have my opportunity to smack hands and talk stuff later.
Okay.
But Jim Watson, you the man.
Thank you so much, Donnie. Thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Jim. You don't know what to say. He's blushing. He is blushing. I need to get my Facebook Live up going. Donnie, thanks so much. Will, calling from Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling, Will. What's on your mind?
Hey, Hal. You know this is Will by way of Laurel.
Hey, Will. How are you?
Okay. Hey, I moved out here 2 years ago, and when I packed up something, man, I packed this radio station up with me.
Great.
Man, it's nothing like it. DC floats on the wings of this radio station. I stand out here in Dallas, man. I almost sell this radio station on the corner, man. I'd be like, hey, got that WHUR? look here. Hey, ain't nothing like Saturday morning. I still clean the house off of the time zone.
There you go.
So, hey, man, look, Mr. Watson, your legacy. Your legacy is going to carry on. And, God bless, and Godspeed in your new endeavors, man.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Will. Always good to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What was the most difficult time, or what were some of the most difficult times here for you? Did you say pick a day? He said pick a day.
You know, I had a pad, a paper, under my desk blotter, and under it was all of the people I've reported to as general manager, and it's been 14. And each time you report to a new person, it's a whole new way of doing things and stuff like that. There have been some difficult times, but you know what happens is you tend to kind of weather those because the mission is bigger than what that problem is for today. If that makes any sense to you, I just tend not to dwell on the difficult piece. There's always a way. I grew up in a family where the word can't was not used. There's always a way of getting it done. You just have to figure out how you're going to do it.
But in all, in the 47 years, there has to be something that just sticks out, that just makes you, that gives you goosebumps.
You have to read the book.
Oh, so Roy was telling the truth. Well, if you won't tell me that, and I'll come back and ask you a different way. Because that's what I do.
I know. I warned you.
I wanted to make sure that I did want to ask you, mm-hmm. you know, about, you know, the Trump investigation before. And I'm just kidding. No. One of, you know, I got to say this, Jim. I know you straightened up just a little bit. Jim, you have a wonderful sense of humor. Talk to me about how that works in managing the staff here and kind of the ups and downs of the station.
Well, my thing is that you can't take yourself too seriously. And you have to have fun at what you do. And I've always been a person that I like having fun. Working is fun. And you want to be around people who have that same kind of spirit, because that makes the juices flow upstairs. You know, I never woke up one morning and said, I didn't want to come to work. Obviously, for after 47 years, you know, and you want to be surrounded by people like that. And you have to have a sense of humor. I mean, my whole thing is you have to do your job. You have to tell the truth. You have to have integrity. If you make a mistake, say I made a mistake. Be accountable for that. A mistake can be fixed. Okay. And you can put a little joke on the side. You know, I mean, it's easy.
The best time or times, one of the best that comes to mind when you think about it. Don't give me the book thing.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, it's interesting. We've had so many best times here at WHUR. I guess one of the best times was when we got our first number one Arbitron rating. You know, and
when was that? Do you remember when that was?
That would have been 1985, 86. That was my first year as general manager, and we made some fundamental changes, and they worked, and we got that. One of the great things of the day we launched the station, because no one thought that was going to work. You know, we were a small group with a limited broadcast experience. And as far as the marketplace was concerned, oh, they're not going to do anything with that. And we were the first African-American station on FM. Mm-hmm. And it worked. And then we had the other part is we created a television station. WHUT now it was WHMM. Mm-hmm. So I was intimately involved with that.
But at one point, you were kind of running both at the same time.
For 6 years, I was general manager for both. Yep.
Explain how that worked.
With great difficulty. That's when I developed high blood pressure. But it was, since we're connected, there's a hallway down in the lower level, and I have a briefcase, a flight case that has wheels on it, and I'd spend so much time here and to walk down with my flight case and be over the television station. So it was about 18-hour days, but it was necessary to be done. For me, you know, being a person that designed and built the television station, I knew that as intimately as I knew the radio station, and I was involved with the actual formation of what the television station was supposed to be about, so... I was called to serve, and I served.
To that point, mm-hmm. building a radio station is one thing. Running one as a general manager is something completely different.
Yep.
How did you transfer from the quiet guy in the background tying wires together, for lack of a better term, to general manager? How did that happen?
It's real interesting. Dr. Owen Nichols, who was the vice president for administration, who just passed away just recently, called me to his office and told me that they wanted to make a change here and they wanted me to be the general manager. And I said, no way. And he says, why? I said, I'm not qualified to do this job. I really don't want to do this job. I just want to stay in engineering. I said, and he says, well, you're not qualified. I said, no. He says, well, come here. And he opened up a file cabinet. In the file cabinet, he was showing all of the things that I had done since I had been at the university with respect to planning a television station, budgets, and all kinds of reports and stuff like that. And he says, well, that's what it is. And so I still don't want to do the job. So the deal was I would become the acting general manager while they looked for a general manager. And then I would go back to engineering. That was the deal. And so I was acting general manager for the first year. We got our first number one Arbitron rating. And then when the time was up, I was called across the street and said, congratulations, you have the job. I said, I don't get to negotiate this. This is, well, here's the salary. Don't you think that's enough? I went, yeah, you know, and the rest is history.
Talk to me a little bit about what this station means for black media ownership, because 47 years is enough time to see trends and see changes and ups and downs, consolidations, buying and selling.
It's a very interesting situation. We have fewer black owners of radio stations than we've ever had before. We have one particular group, Radio One, that has, I think it's about 51 radio stations. But as far as the other independents, there are very, very, very few. It's becoming less and less. And as consolidation makes the next cycle, because there's another cycle of consolidation that's coming about, you're going to see even less, because it's about having the money to actually have the wherewithal to buy a radio station. But the thing that's really interesting that you have to remember is that radio now is not like radio was when we started. Radio now is that the emphasis is not just on terrestrial. You have satellite delivery and you have the internet. Mm-hmm. And to be online, there's a lot of things that you can do with that. So when we look at what HUR is does, we're looking at every possible delivery system that's available. That's why we have our HD and we have our satellite. So we can take our information and deliver it on all these different platforms, up to video, mm-hmm. which is one of the futures that we have here.
I want to talk a little bit more about that, about HUR in the Howard University Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
We went, wow. During the time that I've been here, from one station,
mm-hmm.
and then we went on to HURN. Talk to me about the genesis of HURN.
Well, here's the deal. We looked at the fact that, first of all, it's important to understand that Howard University is an educational corporation. Okay, their emphasis is on education, and they happen to have a commercial radio station. So there really wasn't a lot of interest in buying more radio stations and making them more diverse. So the deal was, because we knew what the technology was, there were ways that we could expand our base without buying another radio station or making a super big investment. So when the FCC passed the rules for digital, that was a godsend, because we could get four signals out of a digital conversion. So that meant that with one particular station like WHUR World, we could do the things on that station that we used to do in the old days. On the old days of WHUR. Mm-hmm. So if you listen to that, it has that kind of flavor.
Yeah, WHUR World is kind of like the old days between midnight and 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
was like the B-side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing, which is really, really important, is that we've always been involved with this, had student involvement with the station. So we took the carrier current station that was with the school communications, and we put that on an HD channel. So now they have a full broadcast facility that can be heard all over, just like HUR, so that expands that base. And then we went to the next level, and we leased an HD4 channel to the District of Columbia, which they programmed themselves. We actually built the studios for them so they would be totally compatible with us. But it didn't really stop there, because when you figure that we did the HD, now we go to the other platforms, the internet delivery, the applications that go along with it. But that's not enough, because the next thing was when we got the opportunity to get to apply for a channel on Sirius XM. Now we're not only global as far as the regular channels are, but we also have satellite delivery. And so we're operating two 24/7 satellite delivered channels nationwide, full CONUS.
I want to share some other, if I can use the word, voices that that I'm sure you will know, people who have some things they want to share with you.
I know it's under Jim's leadership that WHUR had a lot of awards with the National Association of Broadcasters. They won 4 crystals for outstanding community service from 99, 2006, 2013, and 2017, and 3 NAB Marconi Awards for Urban Station of the Year in 07, 2011, and 2016, all under Jim's leadership. I am John David, Senior Advisor to the National Association of Broadcasters.
This is Michael Bates, and sending out love and positive vibes to Jim Watkins, the General Manager of WHUR, the place we all call home. Jim, as you move into the next chapter of your life, I hope that you'll cherish the memories of all the incredible people that you met and the impact you've had on so many of our lives, even through some of the challenging moments. Jim, I know you would do it all over again. You've seen a lot of people come and go, celebrities, students, interns, salespeople, PDs, and of course, talent, and you've left an impression on all of us.
That's nice. Right.
Michael Bates, Tim, right. And John David with the National Association of Broadcasters. John was talking about things that people may not really understand, mm-hmm. the awards. Briefly talk more about what he was trying to share with us.
Well, the National Association of Broadcasters is the lobbying organization for broadcasters in the United States. And they are very much about local radio, about community radio, and television, but on the radio side. And they have a number of awards for radio excellence that we were very fortunate enough to win. One of them was the Marconi Award. The other one was the Crystal Award for Community Service. We also have 2 awards from NAB that they no longer have, which is for HD radio. Hmm. They have 2 HD radio awards as well. And this is a recognition of the radio stations from their peers, other broadcasters throughout the country, which is very humbling because you hear and you don't realize the impact that you have as a radio station. You don't realize that people are constantly listening to you. And I remember we were in Chicago and we got this one award, and this little old lady from Iowa came up to me and she asked me about HD2 that she was listening to on the internet. And she was asking, how did we put it together? She was up in this little station, and I queried her. I said, so you really listen? And she named all the programs.
Wow.
You know?
Mm. How were you able to manage all of the personalities? I mean, this isn't an IBM. This isn't a Xerox where this isn't, you know, blue and black suits, white blouses, white shirts, and black ties. I mean, this is a place of creativity, and it's emotional. It is expressive. How do you handle all of that?
I really don't give a real thought about it, but I will tell you that when I first got into radio, the only way I could get into radio was to be an announcer. And I hated it. I was absolutely terrible. I was absolutely terrible. But what it did, it gave me a real foundation for that part of radio. For instance, when I would design a radio studio, because I had been a disc jockey, I knew the nuances that went along with it. So I could design something that was much more efficient for people to operate. So if a person came to me and says, Jim, I want to do ABCD, I knew how to do it because I did it. You know, I did remotes. Live remotes were a great thing. I always loved those things. You know, so you just learn by doing.
Howard University is and has been for the past 47 years in a very unique position. An institution of higher learning, a historically black college or university that owns a commercial radio station. To what do you attribute your longevity when what we do here is so different from what the rest of the university, because it's university, because of what it does?
That's a very interesting question, because I guess it's an evolutionary thing. That's kind of a hard question to answer, because it just kind of happened. I mean, for me, I came to Howard University as a 19-year-old kid that was given an opportunity to fulfill some lifelong dreams. I mean, you don't give a 19-year-old kid the opportunity to build a radio station from scratch and put it on the air. So, you know, you learn right from there that you've got to always do your best, and you learn to get along. You learn to massage things the way they need to massage. You learn that when you have a team, you protect that team. You keep them out of all the political stuff because they have a job to do. And you just kind of take it on. And there's too many things that are happening to really worry about what's going on, if that makes any sense to you. I mean, for me, I've never really given it that type of thought.
So what was probably the most difficult part of the job for you?
Being patient. Patience is the one thing. I mean, you have ideas that you have. You can see things that the future could bring, and you want to do them now. And maybe the revenue doesn't allow you to do it, or maybe you got to convince the right person across the street to do it. And a lot of times, you just do things and ask for forgiveness.
Oops.
I got a lot of stories on that.
Yeah, I'm quite sure. So what is it that, as you leave us, what are you leaving unfinished that you really wanted to do?
You know, something I really wanted to do for here, I wanted to build a full-fledged recording studio.
Okay.
Well, and the reason that I wanted to do that is that there is so much talent on this campus that has not been captured in the audio area. And we've made three attempts since I've been general manager to make that happen. But that's the one thing that we weren't able to accomplish.
Well, that also sounds not just as something for students, but to me that sounds like a really good business plan. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just the campus, it's Washington, D.C.
It's Washington, D.C., right?
And the entire region, and it could be a huge revenue-generating
thing. If operated properly, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't have to leave yet. why are you leaving? I'm looking at the press release that they wrote here. And, you know, those of us in the news business, we never read the press release. We want to do our own digging. But there's a line here, and it says, you know, my decision to retire from Howard University has not been easy. So why now? You still have the energy.
You know, there comes a time when you just say, okay, you've done all you can do. It's time to do something different. And I woke up one morning and I told my wife, I said, it's time. You just feel it. You feel it in your gut. And not only that, the thing is that as you start looking at the demographic of the program that you're doing and stuff like that, you know, you get to a point where you say, well, you know, I'm living outside that demographic. And if it's going to survive, there's got to be someone here that's in that demographic to make it happen. When I was in my 30s and went 25, 54 radio station, oh, it was easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you're living that lifestyle. I'm not living that 25, 54 lifestyle anymore. So you start thinking about all of that because you're the person that's making things happen. You're leading people there.
What is the advice that you would give for the next general manager of WHUR, the managers, and even those that are as energetic and are as creative as you believe you were when you were just starting out? What do you tell them?
First of all, you tell them, be patient. The second thing you tell them is that you always tell the truth. You've got to be your own person, and you've got to call it like it is. You've got to be responsible, and you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you can do that and build a team with those attributes, you'll do fine.
You know, the one thing that I forgot to mention, and it happened while you were here, but not while you were general manager. We have, you know, the time tunnel. We have the Daily Drum, but we also have the Quiet Storm. It is iconic. What does that mean to this station?
Oh, that's a benchmark of the station. That was something that was very special that would never be duplicated again. You know, it came at a special time at the radio station and with a very unique person, Melvin Lindsay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people miss him, but we still have the sound, and through all of its transformations over the years, people still talk about it wherever they are. Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you become a heritage radio station. People remember those things that make them feel good, and they have great memories of it. You know, they never forget it.
I only have a minute left, and I did want to say personally, first of all, thank you for supporting me, bringing me back, because of you, you've given my daughter an opportunity to get one of the greatest college educations in the world. Mm-hmm. And she is still here struggling through the halls of Howard University. And also thank you for, you know, supporting my own, you know, entrepreneurial ventures, my novel, the play. I would not have been able to bring the play to DC without your support and the support of the staff here at WHUR. You can't buy that kind of family support on the job. I've always said it's hard enough sometimes to get your boss to support you to do the job you're supposed to do, but to support you doing the job that or something that you want to do outside of the job, that's woke. That's yep. real stuff.
Well, it's been my pleasure to serve, and I thank you and all of my team members here, and I thank the university, and I thank our listeners.
Yeah, well,
we got the greatest listeners in the world.
Well, you're still going to be around.
I'll be around.
Like my mother says, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. You'll be all right.
It's better to be seen than viewed.
It's so funny. Jim Watkins, thank you so much for your dedication, strength, and humor. You will be missed.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, August 21st. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.